Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now, we're very blessed to be part of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be able to bring these messages to you, and we pray that we'll be a blessing to you in return. Now, if you've not been listening to the broadcast lately, let me take just a second to catch you up on the topic that we're dealing with right now. Now, Pastor Reynolds has started a discussion about the objections that some people have to the idea of once saved, always saved, or saved eternally. You know, in the world of theology, this is called eternal security, the believer. And it means if you're saved, then you can be assured that you will never, ever lose that salvation. In other words, God doesn't give you eternal life and then take it back away from you. Now, before our time gets completely away from us, let's go ahead and turn it over to Pastor Reynolds so he can continue on this topic of eternal security.
Matthew 24, verse number 13, is a very interesting scripture. I think this scripture is speaking more about the Great Tribulation, but it is a principle that I believe every person should insist upon. The Bible states in the book of Matthew 24, verse 13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." You see, there is no use in people professing conversion. There is no use of them going forward during the church services. There is no use in them raising their hand or joining the church or getting baptized or taking the Lord's Supper or teaching a Sunday school class or doing missionary work or giving all of their money for Christ's work. And it's going on like this for years and years. And then by and by, drifting away, turning from all of that, even denying the Lord that bought them, refusing absolutely the authority of Jesus Christ, and yet profess to be saved. It is endurance that proves the reality of a work of grace within the soul. That is the difference between one who is merely reformed by the teaching of Christianity and one who has really been born again. You see this very clearly when you contrast Peter and Judas. You see, Peter slipped away and grievously sinned. But in spite of it all, he endured unto the end. Peter denied even knowing Jesus Christ. The Bible said that he went out and he wept bitterly because of that. But Jesus said in the book of Luke 22 and verse 32, "I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." And although Peter's outward life for a brief period was not what it should have been, his faith remained. And Jesus restored him, and he went on to the end of his life faithful to God and his eternal teachings. On the other hand, there is Judas. He was one of the chosen. He was with the apostolic band, but never was regenerated. And so when he sinned and sold his Lord, he turned away an apostate and died a suicidal death. Jesus said of him long before this, in the book of John, chapter number 6 and verse 70, Jesus Christ said, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" Jesus did not say, "One of you is in danger of becoming a devil." But Jesus Christ said, "One of you is a devil." That's why in Acts 1:25 we are told that Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. You see, Peter was a backslider, but Judas was lost. He was an apostate, and there is a great difference between the two. If a man says, "I am saved," let him prove it by going on. That is why I say we should not be afraid of the doctrine of eternal security of the believer. Many people are afraid of that doctrine because they're afraid that people will say that they're saved and they're not. We shouldn't be afraid of that at all. I know some will say, I knew a man who was a wonderful Christian, and now this wonderful man has given it all up, but he says that he is still saved. Listen, that person is only deceiving himself. It would be real good the next time you see this person that you would say what the Bible says, he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. You see, there is no use carrying a profession if your life does not prove it to be real. The truth is that men can misuse the doctrine of eternal security of the believer. Many people have, and many people do. Another question. Look in the book of John, chapter number 8, and verse 31, where Jesus says to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." This statement that Jesus Christ made to Jews is a condition of permanent discipleship. He said, "If you continue in my word." This was said by Jesus Christ, and he is absolutely correct. You see, every man who knows the truth of eternal security believes it. But he doesn't believe that eternal security is a fire escape for his soul. There is no use for a person to simply profess to be a disciple of Jesus if he does not continue. His continuing in the service of God proves that there is a genuine work of the Spirit of God in his soul. But let's get some background to this statement of John 8 and verse 31. To understand some of the context, begin reading in John 8 and verse 27, which states very clearly, "They understood not that he spake to them of the Father." John 8 and verse 28 and 29 records that Jesus then told these Jews of his coming, crucifixion, and death. It was at this point that many Jews believed on him in verse number 30. In verse 31, Jesus spoke to those Jews which believed on him, saying, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There was absolutely nothing wrong with what Jesus said. Yet these same people answered Jesus Christ by stating, "We're Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest then, ye shall be made free?" It is very clear, is it not, that Jesus Christ is speaking to Jewish people who do not believe they must do anything at all to belong to the kingdom of God. They believe they already belong to the kingdom of God because they are Jews. They do not understand anything about their lost condition. They do not understand about their having to trust Christ in order to be saved. Jesus is speaking to them in spiritual terms. Jesus is speaking to them about how they can be saved. But they don't hear what Jesus is saying to them. Instead, they think Christ is speaking to them about ruling and reigning on this earth. But that is not what Jesus Christ is talking about. He is speaking spiritual truths to them. Yet they only hear in physical terms. Jesus answered them in verse 37 by saying, "I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." Their answer is given in verse 39. They say, "Abraham is our father." Jesus then said, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the work of Abraham." The discussion continues throughout John chapter 8, and ends with these same Jews taking up stones to cast at Christ. But he merely slipped away from their midst. Many people are exactly like these unbelieving Jews. Listen, they want to have their own religion. They want to believe in Christ. They want to escape the troubles of this life. They want to go to heaven. They want peace and harmony. But they want God to give it to them their way, not His way. They want God to come down to this earth and give them everything they dream of. But it will not be like that. They want God to change. But they do not want to change. God will never change because He is absolutely right and He's absolutely perfect. We are sinners. We must change. We must be as perfect as God to get into heaven. If we ever go to heaven without being changed, we would pollute heaven. And that cannot be. In order to go to heaven, we must be changed. We must see ourselves as sinners, unable to change ourselves, but knowing change is absolutely necessary. We must rely totally on Christ to change us, to make us fit for eternity with Him. Another question. Hebrews 12, verse 14 states, "Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Peace and holiness is exactly what we believe in. Anyone who says, "I am a Christian," and does not follow peace and holiness will never see the Lord. Some people mistakenly believe God says to them when they are saved, "I have wiped off the past and have put you back where Adam was before he fell. If you can keep the record clear from now to the end, you will be saved and you will get to heaven." Many people start out in the Christian life, but soon begin to fail. Then they are told, "The trouble is that you have not gotten holiness yet. If you get holiness, you will be able to live the right kind of life." You see, some people believe that when God saves people, He does not save them completely. Some believe that He justifies those that believe, but He does not sanctify them. Some actually believe that God forgives past sins, but now the believer must sanctify themselves, teaching that true holiness comes when all internal sin is forgiven. But this is not the way of salvation for Adam, not for Noah, not for Abraham, not for any of the Old Testament and New Testament characters. Hebrews 12:14 does not say we must be perfect in this life. Rather, it says, "Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord." This scripture does not say, without holiness, it is impossible to see God. There is no such thing as perfect holiness in this life. But what it says is, if you do not follow holiness, you will not see the Lord. Every true believer in Christ follows holiness. A man who says, "I am a Christian," and does not follow holiness is either self-deceived or a hypocrite.
You know, we are very glad that you're able to listen this morning. And if you still have questions, there's several ways to get a hold of us. The most effective would be to stop by and visit with us in person. Our building is located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. We'll be meeting at 10 a.m. for Sunday school, 11 a.m. worship services, 3:45 prayer meeting, and 4:30 evening services. Now, I absolutely understand that you may not be able to come by and visit with us in person. And if that's the case, another option would be to log into our website at independencebaptist.org. Again, that's independencebaptist.org. And from that website, you can not only download books and articles and listen to additional messages, but there's a way that you can email us with any questions that you might have. Now, if you're not able to connect to our website or visit us in person, then you can also give us a call today. Our number here at the church building is 636-673-2180. Now, our time is pretty well completely gone this morning, but we do look forward to being able to visit with you again next Sunday at 8 a.m. on this topic of eternal security of the believer.